Welcome to Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Come in and sit a while. Relax, put your feet up while we tell you a story. For this week's broadcast of our new KBIA show, we've chosen a comedy by the Russian literary giant Anton Chekhov. Except for the Russian names and the 19th century forms of address, it might be a modern-day sitcom. So sit back and relax. We hope you enjoy Maplewood's performance of The Proposal. The play is set in the drawing room of a country house owned by Stefan Stepanovich Chubikov, who is being visited by his neighbor, Ivan Vasilievich Lomov. Lomov, a bachelor, is just entering.
My dear fellow, whom do I see? Ivan Vasilievich, I am extremely glad. Now, this is a pleasant surprise. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you getting on?
We just get along somehow and so on. Sit down, please do. Now you know you shouldn't forget all about your neighbors. It's been so long, my dear fellow. Why are you wearing formal attire? Evening dress, gloves, and so on. Can you be going anywhere special?
No, I've come only to see you, honored Stepan Stepanovich.
Then why are you in evening dress? As if you're paying a New Year's visit.
Well, you see, it's like this. I've come to you, honored Stepan Stepanovich, to trouble you with a request. Not once or twice have I already had the privilege of applying to you for help, and you have always, so to speak... I must ask your pardon. I am getting excited.
Oh, he's come to borrow money. Shan't give him any. What is it, my friend?
You see, Honor Stepanich... I beg pardon. Stepan Honorich. I mean, I'm awfully excited, as you will please notice. In short, you alone can help me, though I don't deserve it, of course, and haven't any right to count on you for assistance.
Oh, don't go round and round it. Spit it out. Well?
One moment. This very minute. The fact is, I've come to ask the hand of your daughter, Natalia Stepanovna, in marriage.
By Jove, Ivan Vasilievich, say it again. I didn't hear it all.
I have the honor to ask...
My dear fellow, I'm so glad and so on. Yes, indeed, and all that sort of thing. I've been hoping for it for a long time. It's been my continual desire, and I've always loved you as if you were my own son. May God give you both his help and his love and so on. And I did so much hope. What am I behaving in this idiotic way for? I'm off my balance with joy, absolutely off my balance. With all my soul. I'll go and call Natasha and all that.
Honored Stepan Stepanovich, do you think I may have her consent?
Why, of course, and as if she won't consent. She's in love, egad, she's like a lovesick cat and so on. I shan't be long.
It's cold. I'm trembling all over, just as if I'd got an examination before me. The great thing is, I must have my mind made up. If I give myself time to think, to hesitate, to talk a lot, to look for an ideal, or for real love, then I'll never get married. Brr, it's cold! Natalia Stepanovna is an excellent housekeeper. Not bad-looking, well-educated. What more do I want? But I'm getting a noise in my ears from excitement, and it's impossible for me not to marry. In the first place, I'm already 35, a critical age, so to speak. In the second place, I ought to lead a quiet and regular life. I suffer from palpitations. I'm excitable and always getting awfully upset. At this very moment, my lips are trembling, and there's a twitch in my right eyebrow. But the very worst of all is the way I sleep. No sooner do I get into bed and begin to go off, when suddenly something in my left side gives a pull, and I can feel it in my shoulder and head. I jump up like a lunatic, walk about a bit, and lie down again. But as soon as I begin to get off to sleep, there's another pull! And this may happen 20 times.
Well, there, it's you. And Papa said, go, there's a merchant come for his goods. How do you do, Ivan Vasilievich?
How do you do, honored Natalia Stepanovna.
Oh, you must excuse my apron. We're shelling. Peas for drying. Why haven't you been here for such a long time? Sit down. Won't you have some lunch?
No, thank you. I've had some already.
Yes, well, the weather is splendid now, but yesterday it was so wet that the workmen didn't do anything all day. How much hay have you stacked? Just think. I felt greedy and had a whole field cut, and now I'm not at all pleased about it because I'm afraid my hay may rot. I ought to have waited a bit. But what's this? Why, you're in evening dress. Well, I never. Are you going to a ball or what? Though I must say you look better. Tell me, why are you got up like that?
You see, honored Natalia Stepanovna, the fact is, I've made up my mind to ask you to hear me out. Of course, you'll be surprised and perhaps even angry, but, it's awfully cold.
What's the matter? Well?
I shall try to be brief. You must know, honored Natalia Stepanovna, that I have long, since my childhood, in fact, had the privilege of knowing your family. My late aunt and her husband, from whom, as you know, I inherited my land, always had the greatest respect for your father and your late mother. The Lomals and the Chubakovs have always had the most friendly, and I might almost say the most affectionate, regard for each other. And, as you know, my land is a near neighbor of yours. You will remember that my oxen meadows touch your birch woods.
Excuse me, my interrupting you. You say my oxen meadows? But are they yours?
Yes, mine.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oxen meadows are ours, not yours.
No, mine, honored Natalia Stepanovna.
Well, I never knew that before. How do you make that out?
How? I'm speaking of those oxen meadows which are wedged in between your birch woods and a burnt marsh.
Yes, yes. They're ours.
No, you're mistaken, honored Natalia Stepanovna. They're mine.
Just think, Ivan Vasilievich. How long have they been yours?
How long? As long as I can remember.
Really? You won't get me to believe that.
But you can see from the documents, honored Natalia Stepanovna. Oxen meadows, it's true, were once the subject of dispute. But now everybody knows that they are mine. There's nothing to argue about. You see, my aunt's grandmother gave the free use of these meadows in perpetuity to the peasants of your father's grandfather, in return for which they were to make bricks for her. The peasants, belonging to your father's grandfather, had the free use of the meadows for 40 years, and had got into the habit of regarding them as their own, when it happened that—
No, it isn't at all like that. Both my grandfather and great-grandfather reckoned that their land extended to burnt marsh, which means that oxen meadows were ours. I don't see what there is to argue about. It's simply silly.
I'll show you the documents, Natalia Stepanovna.
No, you're simply joking or making fun of me. What a surprise. We've had the land for nearly 300 years, and then we're suddenly told that it isn't ours. Ivan Vasilievich, I can hardly believe my own ears. These meadows aren't worth much to me. They only come to 13.5 acres and are worth perhaps 300 rubles. But I can't stand unfairness. Say what you will, but I can't stand unfairness.
Hear me out, I implore you. The peasants of your father's grandfather, as I have already had the honor of explaining to you, used to bake bricks for my aunt's grandmother. Now my aunt's grandmother, wishing to make them a pleasant—
I can't make head or tail of all this about aunts and grandfathers and grandmothers. The meadows are ours, and that's all.
Mine.
Ours. You can go on proving it for 2 days on end, and you can go and put on 15 dress jackets, but I tell you, they're ours, ours, ours! I don't want anything of yours, and I don't want to give up anything of mine, so there!
Natalia Ivanovna, I don't want the meadows, but I am acting on principle. If you like, I'll make them a present to you.
I can make you a present of them myself, because they're mine. Your behavior, Ivan Vasilievich, is strange, to say the least. Up to this, we have always thought of you as a good neighbor, a friend. Last year, we lent you our threshing machine, although on that account, we had to put off our own threshing till November. But you behaved to us as if we were gypsies, giving me my own land indeed. No, really, that's not at all neighborly. In my opinion, it's even impudent. If you want to know—
Then you make out that I'm a land grabber? Madam, never in my life have I grabbed anybody else's land, and I shan't allow anybody to accuse me of having done so. Oxen Meadows are mine.
It's not true. They're ours.
Mine!
It's not true. I'll prove it. I'll send my mowers out to the meadows this very day.
What?
My mowers will be there this very day.
I'll stab them in the neck.
You wouldn't dare.
Oxen Meadows are mine, you understand? Mine!
Oh, please don't shout. You can shout yourself hoarse in your own house. But here, I must ask you to restrain yourself.
If it wasn't, madam, for this awful, excruciating palpitation, if my whole inside wasn't upset, I'd talk to you in a different way. Oxen Meadows are mine!
Ours!
Mine!
Ours!
Mine!
What's the matter? What are you shouting at?
Papa, please tell this gentleman who owns Oxen Meadows. We or he?
Why? Why, the meadows are ours, of course.
But please, Stepan Stepanich, how can they be yours? Do be a reasonable man. My aunt's grandmother gave the meadows for the temporary and free use of your grandfather's peasants. The peasants used the land for 40 years and got as accustomed to it as if it was their own, when it happened that...
Excuse me, Ivan Vasilievich. You forget just this, that the peasants didn't pay your grandmother and all that, because the meadows were in dispute and so on, and now everybody knows that they're yours. It means that... You haven't seen the plan.
I'll prove to you that they're mine.
You won't prove it, my friend.
I shall!
Now, why yell like that? You won't prove anything just by yelling. I don't want anything of yours and don't intend to give up what I have. Why should I? And you know, neighbor, that if you propose to go on arguing about it, I'd much sooner give up the meadows to the peasants than to you. There!
I don't understand. How have you the right to give away somebody else's property?
You may think I have the right or not. Because, young man, I'm not used to being spoken to in that tone of voice and so on. I, young man, I'm twice your age and ask you to speak to me without agitating yourself and all that.
No, you just think I'm a fool and want to have me on. You call my land yours, and then you want me to talk to you calmly and politely? Stepan Stepanich, you're not a neighbor. You're a land grabber.
What's that? What did you say?
Papa, send the mowers out to the meadows at once.
What did you say, sir?
Oxen Meadows are ours, and I shan't give them up. Shan't give them up, shan't give them up!
We'll see. I'll have the matter taken to court, and then I'll show you.
To court? You can take it to court and all that. You can. I know you. You're just on the lookout for a chance to go to court and all that. You pettifogger, all your family were like that, all of them.
Never mind about my family. The Lamalves have all been honorable people, and not one has ever been tried for embezzlement like your grandfather.
Oh, you Lamalves are all a bunch of lunatics, all of you.
All.
Your grandfather was a drunkard, and your younger aunt, Nastasia Mihailovna, ran away with the architect and so on.
And your mother was humpbacked. Ah! Something pulling in my side. My head. Help. Water.
Your father was a guzzling gambler.
And there haven't been many backbiters to equal your aunt.
My left foot has gone numb. You're an intriguer. Ow, my heart. And it's an open secret that before the last elections, you... I can see stars. Where's my hat?
It's low. It's dishonest. It's mean.
And you're just a malicious, double-faced intriguer, yes.
Here's my hat. My heart! Which way? Where's the door? Oh, I think I'm dying. There's no feeling in my foot.
Be gone, and don't set foot in my house again.
Take it to court. We'll see.
Good riddance. Devil take it.
What a rascal. What trust can one have in one's neighbors after that?
The villain. The scarecrow!
The monster! First he takes our land, and then he has the impudence to abuse us.
And that blind hen, yes, that turnip ghost, has a confounded cheek to make a proposal and so on. What? A proposal!
What proposal?
Why, he came here so as to propose to you.
To propose? To me? Why didn't you tell me before?
So he dresses up in evening clothes, the stuffed sausage, the wizened-faced frump.
To propose to me? Oh, bring him back. Back. Bring him here.
Bring whom here?
Oh, quick. Fetch him.
What's that? What's the matter with you? Oh, unhappy man that I will am. I'll shoot myself. I'll hang myself. You want me to bring that blowhard back?
I'm dying. Fetch him.
You are being a fool. But I will go at once. Don't yell.
Well, as they say, the course of true love never runs and all that. But Papa Chupakov has some running to do here. While he's gone, let's step outside for this little message.
This Halloween, are you ready to be scared just a little by Columbia's historical and hysterical spooks in Nifong Park? Join the ghosties and ghoulies of Maplewood Barn Players as they populate the Nifong Mansion on October 31st from 6 to 9. Consult MaplewoodBarn.com for details. This haunting is co-sponsored by the Boone County Historical Society and D&H Drug Stores. Bring the whole family.
Well, that didn't take long. And that's a good thing, because I see Natalia's father huffing and puffing back up the path. Shall we rejoin them?
Oh, what have they done to me?
He's coming, and that's all right. Yeah, devil take him. Talk to him yourself. I don't want to.
Fetch him.
He's coming, I tell you. Oh, what a burden, Lord, to be the father of a grown-up daughter. I'll cut my throat, I will indeed. We cursed him, abused him, drove him out, and it's all you.
No, it was you.
I tell you, it's not my fault. Here he is now. You talk to him yourself. I will not be in the same room with that scoundrel.
My heart's palpitating awfully. My foot's completely gone. There's something keeps pulling in my side.
Forgive us, Ivan Vasilyevich. We were all a little heated. I remember now, Oxen Meadows really are yours.
My heart's beating awfully. My meadows. Oh, my eyebrows are both twitching.
The meadows are yours, yes, yours. Please, do sit down. We were wrong.
I did it on principle. My land is worth little to me, but the principle...
Yes, the principle, just so. Now let's talk of something else.
The more so as I have evidence. My aunt's grandmother gave the land to your father's grandfather's peasants.
Yes, yes, let that pass. Are you going to start hunting soon? The season is upon us.
I'm thinking of having a go at the black elk, honored Natalia Stepanovna, after the harvest. Oh, have you heard? Just think what a misfortune I've had. My dog, Kaiser, whom you know, has gone lame.
Oh, what a pity. Why?
I don't know. Must have got twisted or bitten by some other dog. Oh, my very best dog, to say nothing of the expense. I gave Mironov 125 rubles for him.
Oh, it was too much, Ivan Vasilyevich.
I think it was very cheap. He's a first-rate dog.
Papa gave 85 rubles for his Squeezer, and Squeezer is heaps better than Kaiser.
Squeezer better than Kaiser? What an idea! Squeezer, better than Kaiser.
Of course he's better. Of course. Squeezer is young. He may develop a bit, but on points and pedigree, he's better than anything that even Volchanetsky has got.
Excuse me, Natalia Stepanovna, but you forget that he has an overbite, and an overbite always means the dog is a bad hunter.
Overbite? The first time I hear it.
I assure you that his lower jaw is much shorter than the upper.
Have you measured?
Yes. He's all right at following, of course, but if you want him to get a hold of anything...
In the first place, our Squeezer is a thoroughbred animal, the son of harness and chisels. While there's no getting at the pedigree of your dog at all, he's old and as ugly as a worn-out cab horse.
He is old, but I wouldn't take 5 Squeezers for him. Why, how can you? Kaiser is a dog. As for Squeezer, well, it's too funny to argue. Anybody you like has a dog as good as Squeezer. You may find them under every bush, almost. 25 rubles would be a handsome price to pay for him.
There's some argumentative demon in you today, Ivan Vasilyevich. First you pretend that the meadows are yours, now that Kaiser is better than Squeezer. I don't like people who don't say what they mean, because you know perfectly well that Squeezer is 100 times better than your silly Kaiser. What do you want to say otherwise?
I see, Natalia Stepanovna, that you consider me either blind or a fool. You must realize that Squeezer has an overbite.
It's not true.
It is!
It's not true!
Why shout, madam?
Why talk rot? It's awful! It's time your Kaiser was put out of his misery, and you compare him to Squeezer.
Excuse me. I cannot continue this discussion. My heart is palpitating.
I've noticed that those hunters argue most who know least.
Madam, please be silent. My heart is going to pieces. Shut up!
I shan't shut up until you acknowledge that Squeezer is 100 times better than your Kaiser.
100 times worse! Be hanged to your Squeezer. His head, eyes, shoulder...
There's no need to hang your silly Kaiser. He's half dead already.
Shut up! My heart's bursting!
I shan't shut up.
What's the matter now?
Papa, tell us truly, which is the better dog, our Squeezer or his Kaiser?
Stepan Stepanovich, I implore you to tell me just one thing. Does your Squeezer have an overbite or not? Yes or no?
Suppose he has. What does it matter? He's the best dog in the district for all that and so on.
But isn't my Kaiser better? Really now?
Don't excite yourself, neighbor. Allow me. Your Kaiser certainly has his good points. He's purebred, firm on his feet, has well-sprung ribs and all that. But my dear man, if you want to know the truth, that dog has 2 defects. He's old and he's short in the muzzle.
Excuse me, my heart. Let's take the facts. You will remember that on the Marizinski hunt, my Kaiser ran neck and neck with the Count's dog, while your Squeezer was left a whole furlong behind.
He got left behind because the Count's bush beater hit him with his whip.
And with good reason. The dogs are running after a fox when Squeezer goes and starts worrying a sheep.
It's not true. My dear fellow, I'm very liable to lose my temper. And so, just because of that, let's stop arguing. You started because everybody is always jealous of everybody else's dogs. Yes, we're all like that. You too, sir, aren't blameless. You no sooner notice that some dog is better than your Kaiser than you begin with this, that, and the other, and all that. I remember everything.
I remember, too.
I remember, too. What do you remember?
My heart! My foot's numb! I can't...
My heart, what sort of a hunter are you? You ought to go and lie on the kitchen floor and catch black beetles, not go after foxes. My heart.
Yes, really. What sort of hunter are you, anyway? You ought to sit at home with your palpitations and not go tracking animals. You could go hunting, but you only go to argue with people and interfere with their dogs and so on. Let's change the subject in case I lose my temper here. You're not a hunter at all, anyway.
And are you a hunter? You only go hunting to get in with the Count and to intrigue. Oh, my heart! You're an intriguer!
What? I an intriguer? Shut up!
Intriguer?
Boy, pup!
Old rat! Jesuit!
Shut up or I'll shoot you like a partridge, you fool!
Everybody knows that. Oh, my heart! Ugh. Your late wife used to beat you. My feet, temples, sparks. I fall.
And you're under the slipper of your housekeeper.
There. My heart's burst. My shoulder's come off. Where is my shoulder? I die. A doctor!
Boy, milksop. Look, the fool has fainted. I'm sick.
What sort of a hunter are you? You can't even sit on a horse. Papa, what's the matter with him? Papa, look, Papa. Ivan Vasilievich, he's dead.
I'm sick. I can't breathe there.
He's dead. Ivan Vasilievich? Oh, Ivan Vasilievich, what have you done to me, Papa? He's dead. A doctor, quickly.
Oh, what is it? What's the matter?
He's dead. Dead.
Who's dead? Why, so he is. My word. Water. A doctor. Here, neighbor, drink this. No, he doesn't drink. It means he's dead and all that. I'm the most unhappy of men. Why don't I put a bullet into my brain? Why haven't I cut my throat yet? What am I waiting for? Give me a knife. Give me a pistol. What's this? He seems to be coming around. Drink some water. That's right.
I see stars. Mist. Where am I?
Hurry up and get married and well, to the devil with you. She's willing. She's willing and all that. I give you my blessing and so on. Only leave me in peace.
Eh? What? And to whom?
She's willing. Well, kiss her and be damned with you.
Oh, he's alive. Yes, I'm willing.
Kiss him quickly before he faints again.
Eh? Kiss whom? Very nice, too. Excuse me, what's it all about? Oh, now I understand. My heart, stars, I'm happy! Natalia Stepanovna! My foot's gone.
Thank you, Ivan Vasilievich. I'm happy.
What a weight off my shoulders.
But still, you will admit now that Kaiser is worse than Squeezer.
Better.
Worse.
Well, that's a way to start your family bliss. Have some champagne.
He's better.
Worse.
Champagne.
Ah, what a lovely way to begin a relationship. They are bound to live in ecstatic domesticity for the rest of their days. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of Anton Chekhov's The Proposal, which was adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. The show was produced by Darren Helwich. Our players were Byron Scott as Chubikov, Jason Cassio as Lamov, and Ali Beal Cassio as Natalia. This is your narrator, Brad Buchanan, hoping you'll join us at the same time next week for another relaxing half hour here at the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Thanks for listening.